Welcome to Literary Lark, the show that examines trends in indie publishing, fiction, and anything related to books. Hello and welcome to Literary Lark. I am Daniel Adorno, your host, and today we're going to be talking about the First Steps to Publishing Your Book, Part 2. Now, if you remember, the first episode, we covered some of the first things we need to do regarding writing a book and how to get that all taken care of in our process. But once we've got our book written, and everything is ready to go, so to speak. Now, what's the next step? What do we do now? So I'm going to break down today three paths that are open to you once you've written your book. So the three paths are the traditional publishing path, the self-publishing path, and what I like to call the do-nothing path. So to kind of break these down and get into each of the aspects of what you'll be doing with each path, I'm going to just tell you my story and how I was on the road to publishing my book and the experiences that I went through that kind of helped me to understand what each path entails and what are the benefits of each path, the negatives, positives, all of that I'll cover as I just give you a glimpse of what I went through and how I sort of got on the self-publishing independent author path and how I just gravitate towards that more, but it might not be the same for you. So, my story is basically, well, a fantasy story. My book, The Blade Heir, I wrote it back in 2005, so 10 years ago. I was in college at the time, and it was during finals week that I really just put the finishing touches on the book. I had spent about 45 days just pounding out this book. I had been part of NaNoWriMo, and was inspired by just the blitzkrieg of writing and word count that was required as part of that. So I hammered out this book, and I was excited to have it done, but then there was this little tricky thing called editing the book. And after 45 days of just constant writing, nothing that I've ever done before. It was an amazing experience, but I was exhausted, and I didn't really want to look at the book anymore. I wanted to just shelve it for a while, and this kind of put me on the third path, the do-nothing path, basically. I wrote my book, I put it aside, and I thought, in a month, I'll go back to it. I will edit it, I'll make it clean, and just get it all ready for publishing and moving on to that step. But in reality, that never happened. And what ended up happening was I graduated college, got a full-time job, got married, had kids, and still, no editing done on the book. It was always in the back of my mind, but I never really did anything with it until I was fortunate enough to be part of a writing contest where I submitted an entry. I was a finalist for that contest. Didn't win, unfortunately, but I did get the pleasure of meeting two editors from a well-known Christian publishing company, and that inspired me to go back and finish this manuscript that I had let sit for, 8 years. It wasn't until 2013 that I really just dusted off that manuscript and took a serious look at it and started to get on the process of publishing. So the do nothing path essentially is where I was, where you've written your book, you've put it together, spent all that time writing it, and then you just kind of let out a heavy sigh and then put it in a drawer and totally forget about it and don't do anything with it. I will highly encourage you, do not take this path. If you have to choose a path, this is the worst one you can take. Unless writing is just some kind of cathartic experience for you and you don't really care about the publishing part or making any money or any kind of readership, building a readership from your books, then that's fine. If that works for you, great. But I think the majority of the people listening to this podcast and people, just authors or aspiring authors, want to take their books further and they want people to read it. Because honestly, what's the point of having a book that you've written if nobody's ever going to read it? I suppose there is some therapeutic aspect to just writing something that long and never putting it out there, but that was not me. I wanted people to read the book and I wanted it to be published. So the do nothing path is one of the paths I do not recommend. So moving on in my story, once I dusted off that manuscript, I switched to the traditional publishing path mindset. So basically what this entailed was I wanted to get my manuscript just as good as I can get it, going back through, editing it. There was a few gaps in my story, in my my novel, so I wanted to add some scenes, kind of round it out, make it look good. I mean, it had been 8 years since I had looked at this thing, and there was definitely, I had grown in my writing up until then, so I wanted to update it and make it a much better story. So I went through, edited the whole thing. It took me, it was a summer of 2013. It took me up to around March of 2014, so just a year ago, to get it looking good, and I felt in a good place about it. And having met some of the editors of the publishing company, I decided that I wanted to, having those contacts, I wanted to send out this manuscript and see what they thought about it, see if I had a shot at getting a book deal. So I sent it off, and I went through all the traditional things you have to do, making a query letter for the publisher. Sometimes you'll be doing this for a literary agent. In fact, a lot of people that want to get traditionally published generally go through a literary agent because they know the market, they know which publishers will be interested in your story and which aren't, so they're kind of better at navigating those waters. And they typically, they just take a cut from a book deal that you sign. So I'm not sure on the percentages there, but that's kind of how it works. And they're usually looking for a query letter explaining what your book is about and sort of kind of giving them a hook, a tagline about your story. And, you know, if you kind of woo them successfully, then they'll help you land a book deal. Sometimes they don't. Sometimes it doesn't ever pan out, and you might be waiting for a long time. Some publishers don't really use literary agents like the one I was going through. They kind of had a hybrid kind of thing going on where they would use a literary agent if you had one, or you can just send them a manuscript as long as it wasn't unsolicited, meaning you had some prior relationship with an editor, which I did. I had made those contacts when I had met the two editors from the publishing company. So I had that relationship in place where I could send it and it was not considered unsolicited, because most publishers would not take unsolicited manuscripts because they would have just an unending slush pile to go through. But that being said, I had my story ready to go, sent it off, sent everything that was required of me for the publisher to look at, and I waited a month, and they pretty much rejected it and said that it was a good story, but it just wasn't, their catalog was heavily focused on Christian romantic fiction. So Christian historical romance is kind of their genre and their bread and butter. So a fantasy story just wasn't really going to be part of that catalog. I knew that going in, but I had still been encouraged to send the manuscript, so I decided to do that. But as I was waiting, and even going up to, leading up to this submission, I had looked very extensively at the independent publishing path. I liked the idea of having creative control, not only over my book, but just over my author platform and how I wanted that to look. So self-publishing really kind of was an attractive route for me, and I was excited to see what the possibilities could be for a self-published author. There was just more more possibility as far as income. The royalty rate of putting something up on Amazon or on any of these online book retailers was much higher than if I went through a traditional book deal. And I'm not going to lie, getting that rejection, despite the fact that I knew it was probably coming, was very tough. And I don't want to say that you should give up immediately and just go on a self-publishing route after just getting, you know, one rejection. But I had experienced rejection letters before. I had sent in short stories to magazines and other places and never really got to a point where they were published pieces. So I kind of knew that that was going to be what this was going to be like for a manuscript, for a full book, but just on a bigger scale. And I didn't really want to go through that. I didn't want to have to wait years to land a literary agent or to land a book deal that might end up not even panning out as far as royalties are concerned or sales or, you know, because there's this misconception that if you go through the traditional route of publishing a book, that your work is done. You've gotten a book deal. You are a published author, and now the publisher is going to take care of you. They're going to market everything, and they're just going to make you look good in bookstores, and people are going to be lining up to get autographs or get signed copies. But that's just not the case. That is not the reality. The reality is you will get a book deal, but you still have to do a lot of the legwork. They only give that marketing budget to their big sellers. And when you're a first-time author, you're not a big seller. You have to prove yourself, and you have to sort of build this platform on your own. So in my mind, it just seemed to make sense that I needed to be self-published because it was just more of what I wanted. I wanted more of that control. I wanted to be able to have a higher royalty rate for books that I sold, and I wanted to build a platform that was of my own making and not really, you know, set in place by a traditional publisher. So this is where, after getting that rejection, I moved into the self-publishing path. So three paths: traditional publishing, self-publishing, and do-nothing publishing, if that's what you want to call it. So for me, what I did once I got the manuscript back is I started looking into how I can get this published on my own. I had done a lot of research. I decided that I needed to get a professional editor to go through the rounds of editing the book, and I needed to hire a graphic designer to get a good book cover on there because I didn't want something that was just made up on my own, and it would just be unappealing if I did it. So I did that, hired out graphic designer, hired out an editor, and then started to look into ways I can format the book into an ebook format, because that was going to be, I mean, when you're self-publishing, the ebook format is essential. It's you can go through a print format, and that's great to have that option out there for readers, but statistically, at least what numbers I've seen for self-published authors, the ebook digital format is going to be your big seller, the more popular format. So I looked into formatting it, and once I got all that Once I tallied up my expenses, I realized I don't have the money for this. And I'm not going to lie, self-publishing is, you're putting your money up front. The nice thing about getting traditionally published is that somebody else is putting the money up front. You know, a traditional publisher is going to have editors, they're going to do the editing for you, they're going to format the book for a print version and for an ebook version, and they're going to get you a nice cover from a professional graphic designer. So it's all going to be a nice rounded out package that you don't really have to worry about. But, you know, you might get a nice advance too, but all of that is included in the cost of what you're doing. So it's just now, as a self-published author, you're putting that money up front. You're the one forking it over, so to speak. So it can be daunting for someone like me, who I didn't have this extra money to put down, but it was, for me, a worthwhile investment, and I found ways to get the costs down so that I wasn't compromising on quality, but I also wasn't breaking the bank. And in this podcast, I'm definitely going to highlight some of those things to help you with your own, if you decide that self-publishing is where you want to go, to make these decisions, you know, whether it's right to pay, you know, thousands of dollars for a book cover, or if you can, you know, trim that down and still get a quality book cover, quality editor, but not, you know, break the bank. So I decided that I needed to, I had looked into things like Kickstarter and trying to see if I could just raise some money, raise some supporters, friends and family, and anyone who'd be interested in a fantasy novel. So I kind of switched gears from self-publishing to now creating a crowdfunding campaign to get my book out there. And it was tough, I'm not going to lie. Crowdfunding, it's great, but it's also, it's 30 days of campaigning, and there's even a ton of prep work before your actual campaign starts. But I think for some authors who are looking to self-publish, it's actually a great way to build a platform, to build a readership. And I know what mistakes I went through that helped me to learn more about the crowdfunding market and the process. And again, I'll probably highlight some of that more in a later podcast. But just to keep things short and concise here, I didn't raise as much as I expected. And that's to be, you know, that's not a surprise, seeing as I was a new author. Nobody knew who I was. And the majority of my support came from friends and from family. But I was able to, despite not raising what I wanted, I was still able to publish the book. I was still able to find ways to save money and to get the book out there so that it would be published and ready to go and, you know, look professional, have the look that I wanted, not compromise on the quality that I was trying to put out there. Because really, it comes down, with self-publishing, it comes down to quality. Having a quality product and being just conscientious of what readers want in your genre and in a story. So the writing is certainly the most important part, but presentation is also important. Seeing a good book cover that is professional and a good blurb on your book, all these aspects, you know, good formatting, good editing, the total package is really what's going to woo readers to take a look at you. Because honestly, readers don't care about who published, whether it's self-published or not. Think about yourself as a reader. Do you ever look at who published the book? You know, can you name who published The Hunger Games or, you know, Lord of the Rings? I can't. I don't know. And it doesn't really matter, because all you remember about those books is the story. You remember it was a great story, and if you hadn't heard of it from word of mouth and then you were just walking in a bookstore and picked up a book like Hunger Games or any other popular book, the cover might have been what attracted you. You might have seen that cover and thought, wow, that's really cool looking. I'm going to take a look at this. So it's it's not who published it. That's not really a decision, or it's not a factor in your decision. So, at least not for me. So, crowdfunded the book, got it out there, put it up on Amazon, and I was definitely on the path, on the self-publishing path. That's where I am now. That's the path I've decided. But that might not be the path you want. This is where I kind of come to decision time for you. You've got a book, you've written it, you've got the manuscript, and you've got the three paths open to you. Will you go the traditional path, where you look into getting a literary agent and getting some querying done, you know, sending out letters to publishers and agents and anyone in the industry that can get you a book deal, maybe going to conferences and making some connections? That would entail the traditional path. Or will you go self-publishing, where you're doing all the legwork, and honestly, you'll do most of the legwork either way, but with self-publishing, there will be a little more work for you with regard to hiring an editor, hiring a cover designer, hiring someone to format if you don't want to do it yourself. So there's that route, or there's the third route of do nothing, and your manuscript just sits in a drawer for years, and it never really amounts to anything. I'd encourage you to take either of the first two. Never take the third. Make the decision of whether you want to be traditionally published or self-published. Even though I am an independent author and I very much tout the principles of self-publishing, I don't want to discourage anybody from going into the traditional route. That's the route I wanted to go in when I first thought about publishing. And there's plenty of authors that will say that that's a great route for them and that works better for them than self-publishing. And that's understandable and that's fine. More power to you if that's what you want to take. But really take a hard look. Do your research. Do your homework. Look into both of the paths, traditional and independent, and you know, make a decision about which one you want to take and which, you know, kind of weigh the pros and cons and see if one of these is the one that appeals to you the most, if you want more creative control, or if you don't really care about that and just want to get a book published and start on that career path. So that's my encouragement to you. Take a look, decide which path is the one that works for you as an author. In the next episode, as we continue this series, I want to look into editing your manuscript and what comes with all of that, and you know, hiring an editor, and what shortcuts can you take to edit your book, and just more on that, because that I think is an important piece of getting a book published, is editing it. So I'm Daniel Adorno, and this has been Literary Lark. Thanks so much for tuning in. You can find me on Facebook, Twitter, Google+. I'm also on Goodreads. If you're on there, please add me as a friend. I'd love to chat with you. Whatever books you like, let me know. I'm always up for seeing what readers and authors like, what genres they like, and what authors they recommend. I'm also on danieladorno.com. That's DanielAdorno. .com. You can find episodes there and show notes there, and my blog is also on there. And if you like this podcast and want to just give me a review on iTunes, I'd really appreciate it. That'd be awesome. So, and my book, The Blade Air, is available on Amazon and soon to be available on Kobo, Barnes & Noble, and some of the other ebook retailers. So, have a good day, and thanks for listening.